Well, you know, Bible prophecy has to do with the day in which we live right now. Most people would see absolutely nothing symbolic or prophetic about the recent marriage of the royal couple in England whatsoever. And yet, believe it or not, it may eventually result in the fulfillment of a very strange and obscure prophecy found back in the book of Isaiah, almost buried, very few people know very much about. Isn't it strange that the modern throne that is so attractive, seemingly, to the Western world, that even the United States of America seems to stop and look in awe and in respect, admiration, wonderment, perhaps even with a little bit of emotion, realizing that we are a former colony of the mother country of Great Britain, that we are seeing the pomp and the ceremony, the splendor of a royal wedding. Isn't it amazing? The tremendous outpouring of goodwill, of deep national pride and respect that we witnessed as we saw the wedding of Prince Charles and formerly called Lady Diana, now Princess Diana, who, of course, the two of them will eventually become the King and the Queen of England. Now, when a coronation ceremony goes on, it is even far more important and accompanied by, if anything, more pomp, splendor, dignity, and certainly greater gravity and less levity than a royal wedding. But when you stop to think about it, isn't it strange that a modern queen was crowned sitting on a rock? Does it make any sense? Have you ever been to Westminster Abbey? You ever seen the coronation chair? Have you ever seen the symbolic stone? Used to have a sign there. It was stolen once. It's been now put back where people can't get at it. But years ago, when I first saw it in about 1956, and I've seen it many times, it was actually in an area there, the Westminster Abbey, where you could walk right by and almost within touching distance, and you could see mute testimony in the form of many, many deeply carved initials and tourists' names dating clear back into the 1700s, where fools in the past had actually scratched their names in the coronation chair. That chair is quite a relic, probably one of the world's most important antiques. But did you know that there is a prophecy in Ezekiel, the 25th chapter, about the overturning of the governing or the ruling monarchy of the peoples ruling over the house of Israel, and that there was a promise given of a scepter, the promise of a scepter, meaning a symbol of kingly office, said it would never depart from Judah, and that that scepter was to be found in the British Isles. Isn't it strange that Queen Elizabeth was crowned sitting on a rock? The sign right beside that rock said, Jacob's Pillar Stone. There are many who believe, and believe they have proved, that the very stone upon which Jacob anciently rested his head when he had his famous dream of the ladder that extended all the way up to heaven, and of the accessibility of heaven, a man below, with angels going and coming back and forth, when finally the now unconditional promise that was given to Abraham was conferred again upon Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. He then crossed his hands, blessing the two children of his favorite son, Joseph, or his two grandchildren, Ephraim and Manasseh, and said, "Let my name," meaning Israel, the name Israel, "be named on them." Few people seem to understand that there was a dual promise given to Abraham centuries and centuries ago. That the first part of the promise had to do with the scepter, the line of kings, and the fact that there would never fail to be a member of the lineage of the very house of David. A Davidic covenant was made, even with David himself and with his seed that were to come after him, that there would never fail to be a member of the family dating clear back to David, and from him all the way back to Noah, and from Noah all the way to Adam in the Bible, to sit upon a throne which would be preserved and which will be inherited at the second coming of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Little children in Christmas plays will repeat endlessly out of the book of Luke the statement, "Of his throne, you know, and of his kingdom, there shall be no end." There was a It's called the Magnificat of Mary in theological terminology. But they talk about how the angels and even a person who had become dumb, old Zacharias, when he went into the temple and so on, at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and what they said. And that Jesus Christ was prophesied to come to inherit the throne of his father, David. And few people know that. But Mary was told by the angel, quote, verse 32, the first chapter of Luke, "He shall be great," speaking of Christ, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." David sat on a literal throne. That throne was absolutely prophesied and predicted never to perish from this earth, but it was to be overturned, overturned, and then overturned a third time. And it says in the 25th chapter of Ezekiel, it will be no longer, never again overturned, until he come whose right it is. And who is he whose right it is? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, it was overturned when it was removed from the site of ancient Jerusalem up to the British Isles to Ireland. Overturned by being moved to Scotland, overturned by being moved rather from Scotland down to England and where it is now today in the Westminster Abbey, and will no longer be overturned until he come whose right it is. It says in verse 33, after it predicted of Jesus Christ that he would receive the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now in the 22nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, one of the strangest, most mysterious prophecies of all the Bible. Let me just cover it quickly. This is a prophecy of an ancient treasurer named Shebna, who was over the treasury. And it was said of him, "What hast thou here?" Verse 16. "And whom do you have here that you've hewed you out of sepulchre here, as he that hews him out of sepulchre on high, and the grave's inhabitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will violently turn and toss you like a ball into a large country. There shall you die, and there the chariots of your glory shall be the shame of your Lord's house. And I will drive you from your station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah." Now, biblical students know that Eliakim is also a type of Jesus Christ. But notice it says, look at the language, it can only be reference to Christ. Verse 21, "I will clothe him with your robe, strengthen him with your girdle, I will commit your government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of David, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulders, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." Language that could only mean deity, divinity. Jesus says, "Call no man your father upon earth." Yet here is someone occupying the title and the office of a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, all the Jewish people. And the key of the house of David is said to be laid upon his shoulder. The only person who has that, Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 7, is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I open and no man shuts. I shut and no man opens." Exact language as is in verse 22 of Isaiah 22, meaning a reference to Christ. "And I will fasten him," says God, "as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity," and so on. Verse 25, "In that day," says the Eternal of Hosts, "shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place," Shebna, who is going to be removed, Shebna, who will be the last person to sit in that high place before Christ comes, "and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it," that means authority, responsibility, the job, "shall be cut off, for the Eternal has spoken it." Approximately 25 years ago, in college classes and before large audiences up into the thousands, I was saying, when Prince Charles was only 5 years of age, that Prince Charles will become the King of England, that his mother will probably abdicate in his favor long before her death, that Prince Charles will become someday an absolute monarch over England. This will come as a result of the economic collapse of much of the Western world, the cry for a strong man, a strong hand, and Charles will not rely, as did his father, his mother right before him, and her father, his grandfather, upon a prime minister to be the strong hand that leads the British government in that time, I think you will see a return to monarchical systems in Europe, in other countries as well, but I believe the Bible strongly indicates a return to a monarchy in England in the decade ahead of us, and then eventually the fulfillment of this prophecy of the 22nd chapter of Isaiah. And it could well be that Charles, when he is crowned King of England, will be the last human king to sit on the throne of David. Just another interesting sidelight in what's happening in world conditions, but there are biblical prophecies that have to do with mysterious things. I ask you again, isn't it strange that Queen Elizabeth was crowned sitting on a rock, and that when Charles becomes the King of England, he will be crowned sitting on a stone that is called Jacob's Pillar Stone, upon which once Jacob apparently laid his head. It's also called Liophel, or the Stone of Scone, in some books.